There you go, we've unmuted, and roll the intro. Boom! Podcasting, great, and I'll just 4 minutes late!
Great. I'm just going to fill in my show notes really quickly.
Wait, let me do the thing. Hey everybody, welcome to X-Penguin. This week I'm joined by Chris, who has a face,
hello,
and the disembodied voice of Drew, because we don't even have an icon prepared for him. I don't even have an icon I can just throw on the screen to be like, this Drew, right? Nothing, right? So yeah, that's it. So if you hear someone talking and my lips aren't moving and Chris's lips aren't moving, then yeah, it's Drew. Well, so
that works as long as neither of you are a ventriloquist.
Well, I don't know about Hex, but no, no.
Who said that?
Oh, who said that?
I'm reading it already. So, more Drew, for fuck's sake, there's no escape. Hi all, says Hamish.
Sorry, everybody.
Yeah. No, it's Hamish there. Hello, Hamish.
I'm just
how
checking
are you?
To see if I've got an appropriate picture just to represent you on the stream.
I would like to be represented currently by Katniss Everdeen from The Hunger Games or Triss from Divergent.
No, it's not.
So Hannibal Lecter from Silence of the Lambs it is.
Oh no!
I don't have anything to represent you, Drew.
That's
I was looking around to see if I had anything that reminded me of you, and I could be like, "I'll put this on." What about my next cloud folder? There's always some weird shit in there. What about some tea served inside a pepper? Can that represent you?
Yeah. Oh no, I don't like peppers. I'm not a fan of bell peppers.
Oh my god. Okay.
Oh, I love bell peppers. No. Yum yum yum.
Okay. It tastes
we
like.
We won't do that. For those of you that don't know, X-Penguin is the show where basically I just sort of like, we just talk about Linux stuff and games we've played. But this week, we're going to have a Morrowind special. The reason for that is we've all been playing multiplayer Morrowind. I'm putting a small pig face as you, Drew. I hope that's all right. The small pig face that represents you from now on.
So, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. In case Drew's not following where it is I've given him, it's this. And also, I should also tell IRC that I'm streaming, which I've just done as well.
Yeah, no, that looks quite a lot like me.
Yeah, it's quite a lot like you. It was that or like there was nothing else. I've got a picture of your house from satellite and I don't know why I didn't delete that, but there you go. I could do that, I suppose, but that seems a bit doxy. Anyway, hello everybody. I'm Hex. That's Chris. And disembodied voice is Drew. And what happened is, 17 years ago, Morrowind was released, right? And recently, we've been playing it, which... Which, when you phrase it like that, sounds awful. But this week we got to this point where
found out that it's been released.
We just found out that Morrowind's released. No, I played Morrowind a little when it first came out, and I enjoyed it. But I was also drinking heavily at the time, so never really got into it. It's pretty much the year I really started going full on drinking, so I never did a lot of Morrowind. Oddly enough, it's always one I've had fond memories of. But I've not actually sort of gone back to full on. And then Drew was talking about it, and we found out there's a multiplayer thing for Morrowind. And we set ourselves up a little server. And we've got some show notes and we're going to talk to you about Morrowind. And this is a Morrowind special. And the reason it's a Morrowind special is because none of us have done anything else this week other than play Morrowind.
To be fair, you wouldn't let me do anything else.
No, that's true. We wouldn't let you. We was like, every time Chris came on, we was like, play Morrowind! He's like, all right, fine. So so what you need two things to get on board with this. You can't come on our server. It's for me and my friends. It's not for you, unless you happen to be a friend watching this, in which case, you're welcome. Come on board. But it's a private server. We're not running this to the public. We're not opening it up like some kind of freakish MMO or anything. But if you want to make your own Morrowind server, you can download OpenWM first, which will get you the open source re-implementation of the Morrowind client.
OpenMW.
OpenM. Did I say WM again? I keep doing that. I keep thinking window manager, so my brain's like, WM. OpenMW is Open Morrowind, but don't say that because of copyright. You install this, you run a launcher, and it will run a wizard, and it will find your Morrowind files, wherever they may be, or you point them to Morrowind files, and then you just like set your options and launch it to make sure it's all taken. And then you'll also need to download Test 3MP, which is the Elder Scrolls 3 multiplayer, which is a thing, a project over on Git. I want to say GitLab. Is it on GitLab? It's on GitLab, right? It's on GitHub. Anyway, you get that. You just pull it down into any folder, and from the directory, just run Test 3MP, and then connect to whatever server you want to run, whatever you're hosting. You can figure this bit out yourself. It's a server client thing. You'll be fine figuring this out. But yeah.
Now,
Go on, Chris.
Am I right in saying that you do you need OpenMW as well as the multiplayer thing, or did they include?
No, you don't need OpenMW. But by default, it takes its configuration from OpenMW, so you're making your own life vastly easier by making sure you've got a working OpenMW, and then it'll just figure it out from there for you.
All those same things are in the download that you download from Test3MP, like the wizard and the launcher. They're all in there anyway.
Oh, okay, so you could just skip it entirely. But yeah, and anyway, the main reason talking about OpenMW is because like most people won't want to go to the effort of making a server for this, and most people just want to play Morrowind. And everything we're saying about today is kind of relevant to Morrowind, but we have just been playing multiplayer, which is the single player. Because Morrowind isn't built for multiplayer, right? So it's just a single player game with like six of us. That's essentially what we've been doing. What do we think of Morrowind, guys? What do we think?
It's the best. I mean, the best.
The tits.
I mean, it absolutely, because it's kind of like. It incorporates everything that I do love about sort of the open source way of doing things, because they brought together OpenMW, which was the engine, which not only did lots of small tweaks to the game itself, and I mean, how many times has it, for example, crashed when we've been playing? I don't think it's crashed on me at all.
No, not one no. Crash.
Zero time.
No, so actually, I've had the thing where I pull my staff back and it goes, you're stuck there for a minute, and I'm like, oh.
Oh, okay. Oh, right.
So I've not a major crash, not game break. Well, not major, and it did clear up, but that is a thing I have had.
I got crushed under a rock, but that's just my own idiocy. Okay, yeah. Yeah. But I managed to teleport out of it. But basically, you had this re-implementation of the engine, which runs natively on Windows, Mac, I think, and Linux. And they took that, and then they added a multiplayer. Which is great. Like, it's taking something that's really good in open source and then doing something with it that you almost certainly wouldn't be able to do with the proprietary engine.
Yeah.
So I absolutely love it. And I mean, to be fair, right, all cards on the table, the game's really old, and even the single player version is really broken. Like, for example, you can go into the Wolverine Hall Imperial Shrine and completely like get all the tools, get all the ingredients there to make a potion that makes you better at making potions. Then you make a potion that makes you better at making potions with a better making a potion, so that you can then complete that cycle and then get really, really good at making potions and then make a potion that makes you really good at whatever you want to be. And that's another way that you just break the
next
game.
Potion that you make will be an infinity potion, essentially.
Yeah, so
just be infinitely anything.
So the game in and of itself is broken anyway. Like, you can, for example, just sneak in a corner, put something heavy on the sneak button, and then just go and have your dinner or something, and then you've just gained a whole bunch of sneak points. Basically, my point is, even in single player, the game is incredibly janky and broken, and it's not so much a game that tests your ability to push the engine or challenge the rules of the engine, but there's a very strong role-playing element to it, similar to like a Dungeons & Dragons-y or Vampire the Masquerade type role-playing game where it kind of feels like that, especially, you know, like to like massively when you bring in the multiplayer element, because we are just sort of, you know, questing as you would do in a role-playing game. There's a role-playing element, so it doesn't, to be honest, feel any more broken because it's already broken. And yeah. The game requires you to engage it in a forgiving way in order to have fun. So yeah, we are all super maxed out wizards and or acrobats or anything like that, but there are some things that do work really well with it. So for example, you can't fast forward time, so there are some things, like, for example, me and Drew are halfway through a quest where we have to wait for someone to go on a date, and then we find out how well that date went. Now, usually in the game, you would just sort of fast forward that time. But because we can't do that, me and Drew now have to go back in, what, like a couple of days' time or something?
2 days, yeah.
And see how it went. So yeah. It's some of these weird dynamics that...
And similarly, in the base game, in the single-player game, when you bring up your inventory, the game pauses. So you get in trouble in combat, you open your inventory, the game pauses, neck a load of health potions, you're fine. Whereas in this, you can't do that. The game does not pause when you open your inventory, so it changes. It makes it a different kind of challenge, and that's fun. And also, obviously, the lack of quick save.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Like every decision sticks.
Yeah, yeah. Which I like, which actually. Really, I feel yeah, what's yeah. What, one of the things I'm taking. One I mean, things, go on, sorry, Drew.
I was just going to say some of our decisions have been so poor that we had to fix them server side. But aside from that, we're sticking with our decisions.
Yeah, we'll go through our adventure shortly. But one of the things I'm really taking away from this is scratching the itch I've had for an MMO. Like, as people know, I've been MMO pilgrimaging recently, and this literally what we're doing with multiplayer Morrowind. I feel like I'm hooked on an MMO, and it's a fucking 17-year-old single-player game, and it's just I feel because I'm doing everything in an MMO. You ignore all the people, but you play with your friends, right? That's how MMOs work, right? And in this case, I ignore all the people. I play with my friends, and it doesn't matter that there's no one else around. You know, it doesn't actually matter that it's just us because you only ever talk to your friends anyway. And I just feel exactly like I'm in an MMO, and I feel like that immersion and that. But because the game's so vast anyway, I don't feel like I'm constrained by single player limitations because the game's got so much going on. And I'm not sure Skyrim. Yeah,
there aren't many single player games that would have the depth to sort of feel like an MMO. Because when you say feel like an MMO, you just mean it feels like you've got endless things to do, right? Mm. Yep. But in an MMO, it tends to be a bit make work, right?
Yep.
Whereas in Morrowind, you've got that much stuff to do, but it's cool, it's gripping.
Mm. And also, there's ways around grinding. So you're not going off doing countless dull quests for skills to get you up to the next level. There are like grinding quests, but you do them for the promotions and other, you know, in more reasons. But you can actually like steal something really, really valuable. Like we've done a couple of raids now. One at Ghost Gate. Me and Drew completely emptied the vaults in Vivek. There was another. Oh, and another vault at Ghost Gate as well. And so we basically accumulated the money where we can now train all our skills up to as high as they need to be. So we don't have to go on these kind of countless grinding missions. We've just like found a way around the system.
Because the game is built to be tinkered with in that way, I think, and built to be sort of like think your way around a problem. I feel like the headcanon for this wise, I feel like everyone in the world is just like, yeah, what a bunch of bozos. It's like we're the only ones that can actually think about what we're doing. You know, we're the guys that have thought about it, where everyone else in the world could do it, but they just haven't thought of it. And that's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And also we are like the chosen one times six.
Yeah, I mean, like even that, it doesn't even need that hero narrative. It's the fact that the world exists and you can do all this stuff is nice for me. But when we should talk, before we get too deep, we should talk about the things that OpenMW has fixed, and that's like the graphics are much nicer, they're much crisper, they scale to a higher resolution. The engine's just more modern, which means we've got more solid code and we've got less. We've got less intentional bugs. The bugs have been fixed by writing solid code more than going out of their way to correct things, which does mean that some of the old Morrowind bugs don't really work in OpenMW. I'm not savvy enough with the game historically to be able to do that. Drew probably knows of a few that stopped working in OpenMW. I haven't come across anything that I know of. The multiplayer add-on is a separate project, but very much related to OpenMW. Performance is great. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's just exactly what an open source implementation should be. They've taken the original, made it modern, and then left it alone. And I really like that.
And it added modern features like it. You know, it works out of the box on widescreen. Morrowind is fiddly to get working. You get like profiles, so you can have different characters on the go and not worry about overwriting quick saves. This is in the single player version.
Toggle sneak, very important.
Oh, I don't like a toggle. No, not with you there.
You can turn it off. It gives you the choice.
It's a toggle.
I'm insulted that the option is there.
It's good. I mean, things that like things we have to say though from the multiplayer point of view is we have had a very occasional desync where like I'll be hitting a bad guy and I'm not doing any damage because Drew's in the wilderness hitting him. When I'm seeing him, he's just hitting a tree. And it's like the bad guy's there. And the reason for that is we unsynced between us. We haven't ate a lot. And I think that since we've put it on the DigitalOcean server, we've had like basically not had that, have we, since we've been on the server?
We've had it surprisingly little. We've had things where corpses have sort of been animated when somebody came into the room who wasn't there when they were killed.
Yeah.
So it's just you've got a corpse running around. Things like that. But I mean, given what they're doing with this, we've had like surprisingly little desynchronization issues or anything like that.
I mean, it works better than Fallout 76. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And it's got more content.
Yeah. And better value for money.
Well, yeah, it's essentially, it's like if you own Morrowind already, this is all free, right? It's like done. It's free.
And it works with the CD version of the game as well as GOG. So you can
dust off
the old CD, yeah.
I've got an old CD
works
up
with
here.
The TPB version?
Okay. Yeah, I have actually got Morrowind discs up there. I'm liking Morrowind so much, I'm thinking of getting the map out of the box and like ironing it. And iron it or some shit, and then like put it in a big frame because I'm enjoying the game so much. I'm like, I want this world on my wall somewhere. So I was thinking I might do that. I think I'm sure I've got the map. I should probably check. I'll check in a bit. I'll have a look in a bit. Can't stand up right now. I'm not wearing trousers and I can't quite reach, so I can't stand up. So there is that. So yeah. I wish that was a joke. I spilt tea there myself before the show. Anyway, the other ones we have is janky. Like you said, we have janky multiplayer quests. So if there's a unique item in the world, like the Boots of Blinding Speed, and I get them, no one else can have them. So we've had to use the console to res up the NPC again to offer the quest again.
We had to use the console.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I mean, like, there are things, like, if there's a unique item that the player is supposed to be available to a single-player character, we're the ones that have, you know, we're all the single-player characters, so we have to. We can't
I'm fine with it. And because we're all completing the quest together, it seems reasonable. Anybody who wants the reward should have the reward. I mean, we're kind of making our own rules, right? Where is the line between, you know, glitching and cheating? And that's fine. That's how Morrowind was always played.
Yeah, it's just as much a role-playing game than it is anything else. And you have to do that role-playing.
Yeah.
You know, the game itself is very loose. Game master, dungeon master, whatever the term is. You know, there are some parameters there, but at the end of the day, you have to make your own fun, which is one of the best parts of it.
And I must admit, we've made some bad decisions, right? Like let's talk about the things the bad decisions we've made. Like Balmora, the first major town in the game, basically hosed. It's basically a fire sale at this point, you know. The police chased us out of town. They had a lot, like Drew had accumulated somehow so much, bounty that he literally, he was dying and they were still going after him. Like it was
the police were coming after me and they were essentially saying, you have a death warrant for this life and all of your reincarnations. Like no matter how much you die, we're going to keep coming after you and murder.
Yeah. What was he about? Like 9,000 or something. It was ridiculous.
Well, I've had a higher bounty than that since that didn't trigger that perma thingy. So I don't know. It was just, I don't know what I'd done. I don't know what my crime was.
Are you okay now, Drew? Or is that why you jump from rooftop to rooftop every day?
Yeah, absolutely. And then the man fell out the sky and you guys made me read his scrolls and then murdered me, which I should have. I kind of expected, but it was totally worth it.
Yeah, on my gaming channel, because the thing is, right, that particular moment, quite a lot of Morrowind players will discover that person coming out of the Sadanine village, which is the village you start in. Mm-hmm. And they'll see this guy fall from the sky, they'll read his book, they'll do basically exactly what you did, Hex. But the fact that we were all walking around and some of us knew and some of us didn't, and there was a little bit of, oh, what's going on here? And the suspicion between, you know, like, what was it Cybro said? They wouldn't make you do it if it did anything good or something.
Yeah, they do. And I'm like, and I was literally like, I know, but I want to see how bad it is. And I just like straight up. But because I turned my draw distance up, I was just like floating around looking. I was like, oh, it's really pretty. And I was like, hold on, why is everything getting higher? Oh, never mind. Never mind. Oh. Yeah, so I was just having a great time with that.
For anybody who doesn't know, those scrolls fortify your jump ability you essentially go into orbit and then come back down.
Yeah, which is a lot of fun. Probably less impressive on default graphics because you wouldn't see everything. So it's probably way more satisfying with the high up graphics.
I think you still see the island receding underneath you, kind of thing.
Yeah, is it a bit rigged or something? That part probably is, isn't it? Perhaps. I spent 30,000 gold trying to get a woman to punch me. the game's got this janky system where you have to, from what I understand, Drew explains to me, you basically like give someone money to bribe them to like you and then insult them, hoping eventually they punch you.
Well, essentially, you're taunting people and you're trying to taunt them into a fight. But if their relationship with you is already zero, the game doesn't let you taunt from zero because they hate you. So you can't taunt somebody who hates you, right? Because they already hate you. Is the logic, I guess. So if you've got a very, very low speechcraft skill like we both do, you get into the situation where you're giving them money to like you, and then you're calling them a dick. It's like, here, have a fiver. You're a cunt.
Have a fiver. Your mom's a slag. Yeah, like over and over and over. I spent 30k, and then what happened was Drew did a thing with the server where he's fixing a broken quest line and just deleted all the history, all the characters. So my 30 grand was gone. And he was like, yeah, it's fine, probably. So I was like, as it turns out, at this point in the game, that's not really a problem. I've got way more money than anyway. But at the time, I was like, I spent all my money and you ruined it for me, which was very funny.
We should also talk about what happened in the Mages Guild.
Yeah, I'm not that savvy with the game. Sometimes when I'm like selling, when I'm like, hit E to bring up the NPC window, click train, and then click what I want to train in. And you line up the boxes, so you go E, click, 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 E, click, click, click. Sometimes I clicked an extra time and I had an offensive spell equipped. So I basically just threw a fireball at a mage and all the mages started fighting me. And then Drew came in and started fighting them. And I think Chris came in and started fighting them. And I think someone else came in. And we basically had a massive bar fight.
This happened several times, right? Sometimes it was that, and sometimes it was because if you've got Tribunal installed, the Dark Brotherhood appear and attack you when you sleep. So sometimes they would appear in the Mages Guild. So we all attack them. But because it's Morrowind, like aiming is quite hard, so we'd end up like hitting each other and hitting the mages as much as, you know, all shit would break loose. Like the mages would start fighting each other, we'd be fighting the mages, the Dark Brotherhood would be fighting, you know, everybody's fighting everybody. And I think in the end, we ended up with like three dead mages, one of them quest essential for the main quest.
Yeah. That's the person he was resurrecting when you binned my 30 grand, which was great. And then I started to fight. I got pissed off with the woman not punching me, so I punched her. And the entire of the club she was in decided to attack me. And I basically just like got murdered by a bunch of people in a bar. And these are all things that these aren't like my interpretation of things. These are literally things that actually happened, right? And this is what I'm saying in this game. This is why not only does it feel like an MMO, it feels better than most MMOs. Because these are things actually happening to us.
It's systemic rather than being like nothing is instant. Like if it happens for one of us, it happens for all of us, desyncs aside. There's no instancing, it's all one world, and it's systemic. It's not, you know, it's not disconnected to things.
Yeah, and it's just utterly fucking fantastic. So Morrowind is literally my favorite MMO, which is stupid. But there's also these miners that I started a fight with because they were criminals. And I murdered them, and Drew didn't like that. He got defensive because I murdered some.
They weren't criminals.
They were criminals. They led shifty eyes, so I killed them.
If you kill innocents around me, I will kill you.
You killed me 14 times or something stupid. It was. Also, the first thing we did when we got to the first town is we accidentally started a fight with the man in the shop, killed him, and now we live in his house.
We accidentally killed a shopkeeper.
Yeah. I mean, that's literally how we did accidentally kill him, right? I didn't know the controls and I just threw a punch and then we just went to town with him, you know, just fucking beat the shit out of him. But the only criticism...
Because the Dark Brotherhood, right, when you're playing on single player, it can be a bit...
Okay, for context, though, guys,
anyone
who hasn't played, the Dark Brotherhood are this thing that added in one of the later, the second expansion, when basically you go to sleep and this Dark Brotherhood have got a contract out in your life. So they randomly appear when you sleep to come and stab you. So about half the time when you sleep, you get stabbed by dudes. And these dudes appear in the bed, like next to the bed wherever you sleep in. So if that happens to be in the Mage's Guild or a shop or your house, these fuckers appear and start trying to kill you. So go on, Chris. Sorry, I just wanted to give people context.
But yeah, and it can be quite difficult if you're a single player and maybe you're not specced for, like, you know, all-out combat. But it was... I found it deeply amusing that, like, someone would go to sleep and the Dark Brotherhood would appear and there'd be, like, three of us in the area which were like, oh, you picked the wrong person. You came into the wrong end of town. Wailing on the Dark Brother.
But then other times when we were all off on a quest and maybe one person was just still back in town and they were trying to sleep, they'd sleep in like five or six places and spawn Dark Brotherhood every time and just move on.
Yeah.
So you come back to town and every room you go in has got Dark Brotherhood.
It was great. But their armor and swords are worth a shitload because they level up as you level up. So they become more difficult as you become harder to kill. So by the end, I was just like, oh, kill Dark Brotherhood, here's 90 grand or something stupid. It was fucking great, which is why we solved our money problems. But you guys
speaking
said you're
sleeping. Can I quickly explain my favorite mechanic in the entire game?
Yes.
So, like other Elder Scrolls games, you're not allowed to sleep in somebody else's bed. It's sleeping in an owned bed. but you can if you sneak. So if you sneak when you get into the bed, they're never going to detect you.
So yeah,
while
so someone's
asleep,
standing at the end of the bed, they turn away, and you just climb into their bed, and they're going, "Oh, I wonder what that lump is." Yeah, it's so good.
I love sneak sleep.
Yeah.
Now we did put in one mod.
We did,
which was a security mod with. We'll call it our security mod, which does bring in a shopkeeper with a huge amount of gold. Now, I think this is actually a particularly useful mod to have because we all, you know, as you do in Morrowind, you go out, you loot a whole bunch of places, you rob a bunch of places.
Well, explain what you had to do back in the day to sell expensive items without this. Explain
you had to
how that worked.
Go to a shopkeeper with an expensive item, right? And they would only have, what, like 1,000 gold or something, right? So what you would do is you would hand over your expensive item in exchange for that full 1,000 gold and all of their inventory, everything that they had. Then you'd have to wait 24 hours and then basically you would and then sell stuff back to them.
Worse than that, go to them the first time, sell them all of your cheap stuff, like lots of cheap stuff, and then wait. And then give them the expensive thing in return for all of that cheap stuff that you sold them. And then you repeat until you end up with money.
That's so true.
Given that we can't pass time in this
one. Especially given that we can't pass time. Especially given that if more than one person did it, we'd have to have a designated shopkeeper each or something to do this.
Yeah.
It would be incredibly that's one of the things that
So we've got a merchant we can sell anything to and they have essentially infinite money. That's the one mod.
Although I suppose if I was a one of the multiplayer developers, I would at least consider the possibility of actually giving shopkeepers, ridiculously large amounts of cash there and just alleviating that as a game mechanic of limited
I also think possibly though this multiplayer mod is designed for two people to play together, not six people to run around like lunatics.
It might be it's not designed because I don't think we've even said when somebody takes a quest or completes a quest, that happens for everybody simultaneously, everybody on the server, regardless of where you are. So it's not like an MMO where we can, you can do these quests, I can do those quests, and then I can do the quest that you did later. We're all doing all of the quests all of the time.
Yep.
So it's not designed for a huge number of players for sure.
A single party at least, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we're already. I think what's interesting though is how robust it is because the amount of people we've had on and it's just been fine. It's a little bit nuts, isn't it? The game's coping with it almost to the point where it's hard to believe it wasn't coded with being an MMO mind because there's so much.
And you couldn't
scope.
Have done this. This could not be done as a mod to the original Morrowind. Technically it could, but it would be ridiculous and it wouldn't work very well. This is only being made possible because of the open source engine.
I'd agree with that. I would like to see it on the original Morrowind with no mods and no tweaking. I would like to see that. But I bet it's shit because the open source.
It's not that different, really. It's the game. It's the same game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest difference is that we've got distant landscapes on. Which is part of the OpenMW engine, where you can actually you just put in a few lines into the config file, and you can see the entirety of the island, which is really nice. But I hear that they're hoping to embed the multiplayer, Morrowind multiplayer or MW multiplayer or whatever it's called into OpenMW proper, so it'll be even easier to get up and running for more people, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Although, admittedly, because it is open source, and especially because everyone needs the same amount of mods, the same mods to run, what is quite easily possible is if you have a party like a game like what we've got, to actually get the multiplayer game itself, the open source stuff, and then to put the mods in it and then to distribute that amongst ourselves so that we all know, and all have the exact same mods and then just bundle in our game files and go.
I mean, like you said, I think you said the other night, it'd be nice if you could just join a server and download the mods from that sort of server so that you don't have to worry about sourcing them yourself.
Well, this is one of the other things I need to talk about. I thought this was an OpenMW thing or a problem that was wider, but apparently it's Drew. This thing has no fucking security. Our security is an obscure mod that no one can find. That's how we stop random people joining.
That's not actually that secure, because by default, You can only join if your mods match the hashes of the mods on the server, but I've disabled that. So if anybody wants to get onto our server, just make a file called z.esp.
No,
that
no, don't do anything. Tell them that.
You'll be able to join just fine.
Well, we don't want people joining, is the point. And there's but, you know, security shit.
There is an option to put a server password on. I just chose not to.
We should probably think about that, given that we're quite public with all this in this conversation. So we should probably consider doing that at some point, Drew.
But if anybody joins who we don't want there, we'll just murder them until they leave. It's fine.
Yeah, we are like it took us. How long did it take us to get as powerful as we are? Like a couple of days.
Well, no, I think I've got 18 hours logged since I started logging, and I played for 4 hours. Right, yeah. So I've got about 24 hours logged this week, guys.
What we might want to do, if people do come onto the server, we could kill those people in the Wolverine Hall Imperial Shrine to make sure that they can't do the potion glitch.
I think
maybe we should consider adding a server password at some point, Drew, if I'm totally honest. But, you know, just me being old-fashioned.
I like the murder solution. Also the murder solution.
He likes the murder. Absolutely.
We just go into the Imperial Shrine, go, okay, boom, okay, boomer, okay, boom. And just, like, take them all out and then just, like, you know, job done. People off the server.
Scratching chat has said... you're all gods in Morrowind, all but Kai Linux. Well, only because he started later than us.
Actually, quite powerful. And also, me and Drew have a little present. We've been on a little expedition for Kai. For Kai.
What have you got for him?
We went into the Mournhold, which is the capital city of Morrowind, and we went into a vacant house, and in the bottom of this vacant house were these people who were planning. I don't know. Like was it a terrorist attack or something like that, Drew?
It was basically internecine war, inter-family war, right?
Some Romeo and Juliet stuff going on.
Yeah.
So we sort of played their little game a little bit, and then once we'd done their quest line, we just murdered them. And part of the quest line was going out and getting all this gear so that they could commit these acts of violence against another family. And we just killed them. But one of the items they had was a really, really, really good, in fact, maybe one of the best pieces of heavy armor in the game. And we don't really have anywhere to turn it into. The museum aren't interested in it.
Oh, yeah.
After you left last night, me and Drew went and did the museum quest. Right. But yeah, so we've got it up. We've held it in Nereno Manor. So if Kai is about, then that's where it is. Help yourself. And it's really powerful. Ebony Curious, I think it is.
That's cool.
But yeah, there's this quest line in the capital city where you can actually collect rare artifacts for the museum, and they give you a good amount of money for it. But also, I think you can steal them back.
Since then I've made a discovery. Certain scripts are still blacklisted in OpenMW, and all of those museum scripts are some of the ones that are blacklisted, which I think explains why the items are not going on display when we donate them.
Why are they blacklisted?
Presumably they cause problems of some sort. They're buggy or something. Something that's not.
Okay, so we might need to duplicate them. So we but it was really great when we stole the big hammer. So in the museum, there's this really heavy hammer that no one can actually carry and lift. So what I did is I did a mark spell right by Zed the seller, and then we went up, we snuck, we grabbed this massive hammer up, and then teleported out. And then sold the hammer for loads of money.
We did a similar thing in the when we looted the house.
How does Zed carry it?
he never moves.
Yeah.
But yeah, when we looted the house vaults, because you couldn't do this on your own, and this is kind of cool because you can only do this in multiplayer. Me and Chris went to loot the vault, but there's tons of stuff in there, too much to carry in one go, right? So we essentially loaded Chris up. Like, I would take all the things out the chest, drop them in front of Chris. Chris would pick them all up until we got everything, and then he would just teleport to Zed
and himself. Turn and they sell it all. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I hope you're sharing this money to Hex when I get back in, because I need, as you know, I spend too much money on training. Yeah. Yeah.
We can give you 100,000 or whatever, you know.
Also, something worth bearing in mind is, you know, we were capturing Golden Saint souls yesterday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A grand soul gem with a golden saint in it is worth 80 grand. So you can, and since you've got a summon golden saint, if we can get enough So all gems together, you can make quite a bit of money doing that.
Interesting stuff.
Well, see, that's a big insight, isn't it?
One of the, I mean, I know we're talking abstract at this point and half the audience can't follow, but this level of thought and detail is why I'm so in love with this game at the minute. And I can't believe...
Why Morrowind is great.
17
this is
fucking
great about
years.
Morrowind.
I'm like, Morrowind's great, you know. It took me 17 years to get there to the point where I'm like, yep, this is... I mean, when Drew used to say it's the best RPG ever made, I was like, really though? Really?
One of the things that's great about it is like any given task that you have, whether it's given to you by a quest giver or something you just decided that you want to do yourself, like me and Chris yesterday deciding we wanted to fill the museum up with all the artifacts. There's so many ways to do everything that you just, you know, you just run around thinking for a while. I could do this and this and this, or I could do it this way and do this. And that's wonderful.
Mm. Yeah, the sheer number of ways you could... It's a bit like chess, you know? Chess, on the surface of it all, quite a basic game, very easy to learn. But then you get these, like, you know, you get chess clubs and communities that come up with all these extravagant strategies to, like, lure people in, you know, and work out how a game looks 5, 6, 7 places ahead and all this incredibly complex stuff that goes well over my head. I mean, Morrowind's a bit like that. It gives you these raw pieces that are fundamentally quite basic, but the... brought together in interesting ways and given, you know, give the end user a little bit of freedom. You don't funnel them into a ridiculous plot. I mean, every time I play Morrowind single player, most of the time I don't even do the main quest. I know you're a big fan of the main quest, Drew, and it's not a bad main quest, but I quite like just doing the random side quests. And
I will say I always do the main quest last. Like when I decide, like I've had enough, I've done everything I want to do in this game, then I'll do the main quest just to round it off. It's not, it's not the backbone of my game for sure.
No, it's I mean it's not bad. It's just, and I like the first bits of it when I played it for the first time. I thought, wow, this is amazing. Like because it's so, it's different. Like there aren't that many games that just lay
genuinely like... kind of epic and mystical, and you feel inculcated in these things that have been going on for like thousands of years involving gods and pretender gods and people and tribes, and it's like it's got this historical sweep that the later games don't have. Cypress just said Skyrim's better. I think one of the things that Skyrim's did improve upon was Bethesda's ability to make as much money as possible with as little work as possible.
I mean, now that I've played Morrowind to an extent that's reasonable, I think it's probably fair to say that every following game seems to have been a step down from Morrowind. That said, maybe I need to play Oblivion as much as I played Morrowind, because I hear people, a lot of people like Oblivion, right? Like a lot of people like Oblivion.
Oblivion's got some good stuff in it. It's definitely not as systemic, not as complex in terms of its systems, not as emergent, but some of the, like Chris and I again were saying the other night, the Thieves Guild questline is superb in Oblivion.
And I would say better than in Morrowind, to be honest.
Better than probably most of the quests in Morrowind, if not all of them. Like it's just a very, very good quest line.
Yeah, and it works and it ties together, and the little plot twist at the end is just a nice bow on top of it all. And it has a meaningful impact on the world as well. Like the world, after you finish that quest line, the world has changed outside of the Thieves Guild's little corner of it, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
It has a genuine impact on the wider lore, which I won't go into spoil. I know it's an old game, but there's no point.
No, it's over a year old. Go nuts. It's fine.
Well, it's about that, how you lift an Elder Scroll and how you actually use it to rewrite history and then put, you know, and lift a curse from someone who's actually a count of one of the counties there, which is, you know, like it means something, you know, it's not just, oh, you're the head of the Thieves Guild. No one else even knows that the Thieves Guild did this, et cetera, et cetera. You know, like it does weave in. And I do think that if they did a similar thing with Oblivion, they open source the Oblivion engine, they brought in the multiplayer element, that we would have a lot of fun in the same kind of way.
For sure, yeah.
Morrowind being bigger and more to it and more layered and more peculiar, you get the most mileage out of Morrowind. But to have, if you treat it as a tabletop game, role-playing game type thing, where you're just like, you have your wizard, you have your rogue, you have your knight, and you're all just, you know, wandering through the forest, you know, slaying monsters and helping villagers and all this kind of stuff. Like, you'd get a lot of mileage if you did it in Oblivion too. But I think what might be a better option would be to recreate the world of Oblivion and the quest in Oblivion into the Morrowind.
Morrowind systems.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, like, Oblivion is a prettier game, though. Let's be honest. Oblivion. I mean, I don't actually like the way I think Skyrim looks weird.
I think Oblivion has aged worse because of the generation of graphics. You can look back at Morrowind and you can say it's got sort of, I mean, I know a lot of people would disagree with me, but it's got an elegant simplicity. It's uncluttered. There's no noise. It's visually readable. It's that very early era of 3D. Oblivion was in that uncomfortable era where they couldn't quite do things convincingly, but they were trying to. So you've got these potato face people right up in your face, scaring the shit out of you 90% of the time.
Yeah, it's true.
And also, the thing with did they use like mocap or something like that? But they used a very new version.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, because people had the same inflections and ways of speaking and facial expressions, you had three characters, people acting all of the characters.
And the fact that they moved around and talked more made that more evident. One of the things I love about Morrowind is that there is some voice acting, but it's mostly you are reading. And the way the quest stuff is structured, because you're reading it in your... Because I think written dialogue is better because it allows you to use your imagination more for starters. But the way you pick through the dialogue in Morrowind feels more like a conversation. You pick the things you're interested in, which is like bringing up a subject with somebody rather than just sitting through their spiel until they get.
Yeah, for those who haven't played it, the dialogue screens is you click on the thing you're interested in on the right, it comes on the left, and there are like the right links you can go through, so you can follow the conversation links down. So it's very good.
It's like a Wikipedia article with the outline. All right.
Yeah, it is.
But also some of the mods with Morrowind do make it look better than Oblivion. Like, you know, if you're willing to go into the world of modding, there are a lot of graphical improvement mods, and I will say they put it on a par with Skyrim.
You should install those for us on the server.
You're going down complicated routes there. Single player, you can make it look beautiful, but if everyone has to have the same mods, we're treading a dangerous road there. But
also, I don't like them. I'm so used to default Morrowind that anything else just looks weird.
I mean, it took us a week to convince you to turn the draw distance up.
And I've turned it back down because it tanks the performance. On the single player, it doesn't tank the performance, but on the multiplayer, it seems... Because I think what it is... Because every time you go one tile out, you're essentially it's essentially exponential, right? Because you're going from looking at one tile to nine tiles, and then if you do four, you're doing, you know, 4x4. And so on. And I think the multiplayer thing is running scripts on all the objects and creatures in those tiles to check whether they're doing anything, whether you're doing anything to them, and it's all synchronizing. So I think when you increase that on the multiplayer version, it just frame rate just disappears, which in the single player is fine. You can ramp it up quite high.
But then there's two kinds of draw distance, aren't there? There's the draw distance of the objects, the actors, the characters, etc. And then there's the draw distance of the landscape. And I turn the landscape all the way up, but I do have quite a short draw distance on the...
So you have the pop-in. Yeah, if you're willing to have pop-in, you can keep the frame rate up. Yeah, but I think I'd rather have fog than pop-in.
I can tolerate the pop-in, but like when you're in Vivec, where the cantons are considered and the buildings are, you know, pop-in, that does a little bit, but like I can live with it. Because
than that sometimes. You'll get like the flags that are hanging off a building will appear, but there's no building there.
Yeah, but the thing is, I think it's worth it because for all the the thing about Morrowind is and Vardenfell in particular, is that the entire island hangs under the shadow of a volcano, and being able to see the volcano from almost any point in the island to me draws the lore in this constant, you know, frame of reference that I think works really quite well. But the pop-in is
one of the things one of the things I wanted to talk about was I purchased Outward. Remember Outward? I bought Outward to scratch a certain itch. I wanted something systemic. I wanted something quite grounded, not too fanciful. I wanted a co-op experience. There's lots of things I wanted, and all of these things have been sated by Morrowind, which is a 17-year-old game. While nothing that Morrowind does has been replicated in Outward. You know what I mean? Like, it's astounding to me how much is in this game that's not in other games. I mean, that's just nuts to me.
Well, it's Morrowind is from that generation of games. I would include Morrowind, Half-Life 1, and Deus Ex. where they try, you know, they tried to, it, rather than just being, you know, the earlier FPSs were just, you know, a linear narrative that you progress through and then, you know, start to end. Yeah. And what these games did differently was, you know, the emergence and the complex systems, the interacting systems, all of that stuff. And when we played these games, we were like, this is great. This is, games are going to expand on this idea in the future. And they never did. No. This was the pinnacle of that kind of game. After that, they just got simpler and simpler and simpler, which is really sad. So there really isn't any, there isn't any modern equivalent to Morrowind.
I do have a question in for you. I do have a question in for you. Did they start removing these mechanics because like such a small percentage of players like these extra mechanics that it wasn't worth having in, or did they just get lazy?
I think the problem, I think the people who play this game find a percentage of the stuff in the game that they love, but El Problema es el Capitalismo, because they just weren't willing to make things that 5% of players would ever see, or 1% of players would ever see in some cases. Like they need it, all their content to be seen by most players. Otherwise, they consider it not worth making, which means you never find anything surprising. You never have, I mean, especially in Skyrim, if you play as the same class, you're going to have virtually exactly the experience, the same experience as anybody else playing that same class. You're going to have basically the same build. You're going to do basically the same quest. Whereas in Morrowind, we can all have vastly different experiences, like vastly different.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that really hit home to me is you go into the Sandrith Mora Mages Thieves Guild, and you'll find mages there who are members of the Thieves Guild. Because in the lore of the world, it makes sense that if you're a mage where you can grab stuff from far away, you can turn invisible, you can teleport, there are going to be mages that use that for nefarious purposes. And it just so it's not like, oh, you're a mage, you're automatically going to go into the Mages Guild, or you're automatically going to be in House Telvanni. I hate House Telvanni. They're sinister wizards that live in towers and manipulate things from the shadows. And when I try, you know, and whenever I play as a mage, I kind of want to use my skills for good. I'm a bit of a House Tlalu loyalist. I know that doesn't mean anything to anyone who doesn't play Morrowind, but even if I'm a mage, I will go into that house and I'll learn the skills that that house requires you to learn, you know, the ways of business or the, you know, the speechcraft or whatever, so that I can progress through the house. But I'll only learn those skills so that I can be promoted. And there'll be people in that house who will be happy to train you to do that, rather than go off and become a sinister evil wizard.
That's something that they streamlined in the later games, because in Morrowind, as you've just alluded to, you had to have certain attribute and skill requirements to progress through a guild, whereas in the later games you don't. So you get into the situation where you can be the Grand Master of the wizards without being able to cast a single spell.
And also some of the guilds hate each other. So I mean, House Tlalu and Mage Guild hate each other. So if you're a mage, it's not beyond, like, the law would sort of urge you to pick a side. But also there is like the Fighters Guild and the Thieves Guild are a little bit at odds with each other as well. So if you're in Oblivion particularly, it's very easy to be like, okay, I've done a magic class, I've completed the Mages Guild quests in the 20 minutes that it took, okay, I'll do Thieves Guild quests, I'll do Fighters Guild quests because I can do them. And if you're high enough, you know, if you're a decent mage, you can go through all the quests really easily anyway. You do Dark Brotherhood, and then particularly in Oblivion, you can just do all the quests. Whereas with Morrowind, you have to choose. Like with the great houses of Morrowind, there are three houses on the island. I think there are what, like five or six, you know, in the lore of the lore of Morrowind itself. But there are only three that you can join. Once you join one, you can't join the others, which means 2/3 of those particular types of quests will be locked off to you. You will never be able to join them. So that is something that you don't get in modern games. Modern games, in many modern games, there are exceptions, of course, do feel like you're a little bit on a roller coaster. Like, they just feel like glorified Telltale games in a lot of cases, because everything you see is a set piece that you're designed. There are no set pieces. There's like one.
And you're guided to it. Like, anything spectacular, you're guided to. Whereas in Morrowind, there's it's in that video I linked the other day, actually. There's an obscure tomb that is not part of any quest, and no NPC will ever mention it to you. And when you get to the bottom of the tomb, there's a maze. And then when you get to the end of the maze, there's a cavern. And then when you get to the end of the cavern, There's an underground, you're deep, deep, deep underground at this point. And there's an underground lake with a Viking burial in it. And with all kinds of artifacts and things. And like, very few people are ever going to stumble upon that. But the ones who do have like an amazing experience. It's like, I found this thing that I wasn't expecting.
Back in chat, Cyber said that he thinks that Oblivion refined a lot and didn't really take it away. They just sort of refined what's there.
They refined some things, but they took a lot away. They took a massive amount away. That is undeniably.
Did they take stuff away that wasn't relevant to most? I mean, this is one of those cases, and we've kind of covered it already.
Did they take stuff away
most people wouldn't give a shit about?
No, they took away.
There is so much stuff in there that small people, like Drew was saying, just a moment ago, where it's like, the thing is with Morrowind is that it's loaded with all this stuff, so that most people who would not spend hundreds of hours playing the game will only ever explore 5% of the world, but different people will explore that different 5% of the world.
Okay, so Chris has crashed, or my net has crashed, I'm not entirely sure. Either way, we're still recording locally, so I'm going to try and save this. There we go.
I didn't do the Commoner Tongue quests until, like, I don't know, my fifth or sixth playthrough.
Yeah, like years later kind of thing. You're like, oh, there's another faction I didn't know about.
Yeah. That's the thing. Yeah.
Oblivion took away attributes, took away skills, took away schools of magic, took away the spell building system as an actual complex thing. Took away.
It made the character building almost too neat, because you have these three neat columns: stealth, magic, fighting. With Morrowind, it's like, it's very, very rare. It's very, very rare for to have a pure. We've gone.
Right, the stream has gone, but I'm still recording. Carry on, guys. It's fine.
Okay, great.
We're ready to wrap up anyway, I think, because realistically, I think we've gone off Morrowind for an hour, so I think we can actually wrap up anyway.
Okay.
Play Morrowind.
Anyway, what I was saying to people who are watching this on YouTube and Patreon, hey, Patreon, patreon.com/hexdsl.
Oh, thank you.
It's very rare to play like a pure class, a pure fighter, a pure mage, or a pure thief. And part of that is because, like, as a fighter, there is not much point in specializing in four or five different types of weapons. As a mage, there are going to be schools of magic that you're not necessarily interested in or using. And as a thief, you're going to want either some weapons or magic to augment your thiefing abilities. So it makes sense to have this mix of classes.
Every warrior will do a bit of magic and a bit of thieving. Every thief will, you know, blah, blah, blah. Mm.
So in Morrowind, the lines are much more blurred between the different categorizations. Whereas with Oblivion, yes, you do mix and match your classes a fair bit, but...
And the important thing, the result of that, is that you create something that is both unique and also really you, like a real reflection of exactly what you want to do, all the things you want to do.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Right, I'm going to wrap it up there, guys, because honestly, we're not streaming right now, and I think that no one can take more than an hour of Morrowind unless they're as obsessed as we are currently. So thank you for joining me, Chris. I think if people have watched this and they're like, fuck Morrowind, that's reasonable. But I think if you've got anything in your head that's like, that sounds good, go set it up, go install it, go play it. I guarantee you will have a good time.
Well, if you get through the first 10 hours where it's very, very hard and punishing, you will have a good time.
Other than that, Chris, thank you for joining us, Chris. And Drew, obviously, who's faced like a pig.
Oh, I've got two pieces of trivia that I'd like to just get out of my system before I go.
Go on then.
First off, Morrowind works particularly well with the Steam pad because the Steam controller, because you've got that touch pad where you can manipulate the mouse, but you can also lie back and then just like explore the world with the controller without, you know, hunching over a mouse and keyboard. So if you are a bit controller, you know, inclined, then the Steam controller works particularly well for Morrowind. And second of all, Morrowind is the first game I ever got running on Wine.
Oh, really?
So it was one of the very few games I had going to university. I pushed myself through those agonizing 10 hours to like get into it because it was pretty much at the time the only game I could get working on Wine, that and Deus Ex.
Yeah.
So
okay. Right. This is wrap up. You can get Chris over on Chris Ware TV. Is it on YouTube? I forget.
Chris Ware.uk. And just check out Gaming with Werewolves. That'll be the channel. Yeah.
You'll find Chris there. You can get Drew on all the places he posts, which he doesn't like to talk about. Mostly as UOOU over on Let's Rocks. Also, friendo.monster. That's friendo.monster is where he's posting at the minute, as well as ludiclinux.com, not where he's posted ever, apparently. And as always, you can get us in Discord, where we like to hang out. That's mostly where we like to be.
And next week we'll be back to talk about Deus Ex.
No, next week we'll be back to, with a regular show. We're so into this at the minute, it seems like fun. Thank you for watching, and goodbye, everyone. Say goodbye. Live.